The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Hello. Welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to serve you, to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said, looks can be deceiving. And we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me today as we journey through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath the surface. We're here together to discover, uncover, and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. But you mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. So, it's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for Exposing the Masters Within. Let's get started.
Hello, hello, welcome. It is Sunday, January 8th, 2012, for those listening live. And whatever day you're listening on, if you're listening to the recording, welcome aboard. I'm excited about today's show. And I'll get to the topic in a minute. Let's make some connections first. And the first place to go, as always, is within. So let's open up and connect more deeply with our own divinity, with our own mastery. And for me, the easiest way to do that is straight through the heart. Use whatever pathway works best for you. And just allow your divinity to expand out and fill yourself, fill your body, fill your emotional body, fill your mental body, fill your aura, your energy field. And then as preparation for where we're going next, allow that energy of your divinity to flow more fully and more consciously into all your relationships. As the Native Americans like to say, or at least some of them, all my relations, all those connections that we have, as we allow ourselves, our divine selves, to flow into those connections, those relationships will improve. And so let's go to some of our core relationships here, starting with our relationship with our Mother Earth. And allow yourself to open that connection more fully. Let yourself receive her energy, her love, her support. Let that fill you on the physical. And let it permeate the emotional and the mental and the energy field. And allow your love and your divinity and everything, every experience that you have, every experience that we have, is as a part of the Mother Earth. The Earth is not just what's beneath our feet. It's the atmosphere that surrounds us, and it is every other single being. Every human, every animal, every plant, bug, insect, fish, bird, we all comprise the equivalent of cells in the body of our Mother Earth. We're not the only cells, all the rocks, all the water, etc. But we are cells in this larger body of our Mother Earth. She gives birth to us continuously. And so as we open and allow our experiences and our light to flow into her, so her experience changes. But allow yourself as well to receive from her. She is our most direct source of this experience that we're having here right now, outside of our divinity. All right, let's expand out again into another set of connections, and these connections are with our angels, guides, masters, teachers, etc. All those divine beings who are not in a physical body right now, and yet who are here on your team, on your side. I don't necessarily want to bring the boxing metaphor in here, but it's what's in my head. It's kind of like the boxer going into the ring who has all the coaches sitting outside. All the trainers, the person who sits in the corner with the bucket, and all these support members so that that fighter can go in and do what they need to do in the ring. Well, the same thing here. Again, I don't necessarily want to bring the fighting metaphor in here, but we are here living our lives in that ring, and we've got all of these others. And they can't come live our life for us, but they're there coaching us, they're there teaching us, they're there training us, or at least presenting us with the opportunity to receive that. And so this is about opening to receive that support, that connection, that training, that guidance. And allow yourself to breathe that in. Again, whatever way works best for you, for me, that works best in the heart and in the head, maybe through the third eye and the crown, but open all levels of yourself to receive from them. It's not just in the mind that they speak to us. They speak to us through how we feel, both physically and emotionally as well. And they certainly speak to us in the physical dimension as they bring us guidance in whatever form we're open to it, whether it's through book or song, or conversation, through other people, through events, etc. They help to shape those circumstances that we have the opportunity to learn through. And so open yourself to all those experiences as well, and that is opening to that guidance. And just breathe that in and let that ground through. And so we expand out yet again, and this time it is to the community of those who are here consciously exposing ourselves, connecting through this show, whether that's live as we're doing the recording or whether that's through the recording. Doesn't matter. If you're hearing this, you are co-creating every word I'm saying because you are co-creating the energy flow that I'm bringing through here to share with you. So thank you for that, and thank you for opening up to connect with and into this community. Because the more consciously we make these connections to our various communities in body, the more that we feel supported. And the more we feel supported, the more we can open up and expose our mastery and share it with the world and bring our divinity more fully into expression. So just breathe into that one last time for this show, and let's open up yet again to one more level out there. And that's the level of all the light workers who are in body right now, all those who are seeking to discover their mastery, to learn to express their light more fully, to come into their power and share that with the world. And so touch in with that much larger mass of individuals out there. Again, the numbers are somewhat irrelevant, but certainly I've heard numbers well in the millions of conscious light workers who are walking the path. And that may be a drop in the bucket of 8 billion on the planet, or 7 or 6 or however many we're at right now and growing. But it's always important to keep in mind. It's always good to remember that which is conscious intention and conscious creation and conscious manifestation always has much more power than that which is unconscious. We don't need to get everyone on the planet on board the self-mastery train. We just need to get as many on it as possible. And the more we work together, the more cars we add to the train, the more that whistle from the train is heard around the planet and felt around the planet. And so this is about connecting with all the others on the train with us. Even if they're in cars that we are never going to walk in, we are still on the same train and we are connected. and we are moving in the same direction on the same tracks. And so the more we can open to perceive, to connect with the energy, even if in person we don't even speak the same language, that's irrelevant. The language under everything is the language of light. It's the language of love. It's the language of divinity. So let yourself open up into that as fully as possible and breathe into that support and feel the momentum of riding that train together. All right. Wonderful. Thank you. And so today the topic that I was given to start with, to connect with, to share, to discuss, to explore, is a really interesting topic for me because it's very triggering. Very triggering. And for some people, it's exceptionally triggering. Very consciously, they're aware of the triggering in it. Other people, it's more subtle. But it is triggering. It's there. And so the topic I'd like to discuss today, to explore, is the topic of disappointment. And just as I say the word, I can feel my breathing stop. And I don't know if that's true for you out there. I'm sure some of you are participating in that moment. And anytime I'm in a group connection, that's one of the ways that I know to tell people to start breathing is when I feel my breath catch. But it wouldn't surprise me. I'm certainly not immune to that as well in my own. When I hear something that is uncomfortable for me, I have the same patterns. And I will definitely slow my breathing or stop it completely. And I think the reason why, when it comes to the word disappointment, well, before I go there, just take a moment and feel into the energy of that word for you. What does that feel like for you? What does the energy of disappointment taste like or smell like? How is that a part of your life? And just notice in your body, especially in the physical body, what the response is. If there is one, there might not be a noticeable physical response, but oftentimes the physical body is a good indicator because it responds unconsciously, doesn't require mental awareness, and it's giving us signals and feedback on how we can make changes if we're paying attention to it. And so, again, just notice, how does it feel? How does it feel emotionally? What comes to mind mentally when the word disappointment comes across your radar? And just notice those things. If you want to jot them down for yourself, that's great. If not, that's fine too. I'm not here to give you homework. But let's talk a bit about the why. Why is disappointment so powerful for so many of us? And maybe you feel it's not for you, in which case maybe this show will be about helping you to understand other people better in your relationships with them and your interactions with them. But for many of us, that energy of disappointment is very powerful. And in sitting with that question of why does it have such power? I was looking at how or where the energy comes from. To get to the why, I was looking at the how. And as with all energy on the planet, this planet, in the polarities where we live, it's important to remember that there's really only two ways that energy can move. It can move out or it can move in. We're either expressing it or we're receiving it. Or we're trying to not express it, or we're trying to not receive it, but it still is basically two directions. It's out or in. And so I want to look at the disappointment that we feel or perceive coming toward us when someone else is disappointed in us. Whether that's something we've done that we shouldn't have done, supposedly. Whether that's something we've not done that we should have done. And again, it's interesting that I don't even know if I can come up with a way to describe that without having the word should in it. And my mind's just blank right now, so I can't say there's any way coming up that I can try to do that. But I think the reason for that, in fact, I don't just think it, I firmly believe it, that the reason for that is that disappointment is always about attachment. It's about an expectation. It's about something that we were supposed to live up to that we didn't. Whether it was we were supposed to live up to this ideal and we didn't, so the disappointment was in our not doing something, or we were supposed to live up to this ideal and we did something else that didn't reach that level. And so it can be, again, about either our action or our lack of reaching a certain level. And this brings me to where we always end up eventually, which is the idea of life being a mirror. And so regardless of how strongly someone else might be expressing their disappointment in you, ultimately, it's a reflection of disappointment in ourselves, no matter what that outer source may be, and no matter what activity, done or undone, that was the trigger for it. If disappointment is coming to us from the outside, then it is a reflection of a place where we are disappointed in ourselves, of an aspect of ourselves that we are disappointed in. And well, that's the energy coming in. And so if we look at it the other way, when we would find ourselves disappointed in someone else, surprise, that is also about us being disappointed in ourselves. Now, for me, disappointment is very closely, and perhaps this is why I perceive it as such a powerful energy. But I perceive that disappointment is extremely interconnected, strongly connected with the energy of shame. And it may have guilt layered on top of it. And I will explain again my distinction between those two energies in a moment. But it's very much connected to shame. And so when we are feeling disappointment toward ourselves, toward others, from others, toward us, what's being triggered is that energy of shame. And so now is the time to define shame versus guilt, because a lot of people use those interchangeably, and I personally don't believe they are interchangeable. Shame to me is the energy of I am wrong. I am bad. I am not good enough. It's that level. There's something wrong with me, and that's the problem. It's not about our behaviors. Our behavior may be a trigger for it. This is the example of why I'm a bad, wrong person. Why I'm unworthy. But it's not where the emotion sources from. The emotion sources from that core wound that we experience in experiencing ourselves as separate from divinity. Whereas guilt is about our actions. We feel guilty when we've done something, or again, left it undone. And in our doing or our not doing, we've created results that were not what we desired. And so somebody else got hurt, for instance. I said something, it came out the wrong way. This person felt sad, afraid, angry, whatever, because I said that. Well, that's something I'm going to go apologize for in terms of guilt, if you will. But energetically, they are very different, the guilt and shame. And so that there may be this action that we didn't do that was the trigger, again, is not the cause. And I think that's where some people get confused. The cause just triggered us to go down into that well of, I'm not divine, I'm not good enough, I'm bad. Original sin energy, kind of, as defined by the Catholic Church. We're wrong because we exist, which is so contradictory to the statement earlier in the Bible of we are made in the image and likeness of God. But I won't get into that very far. We can argue with the church. If some of you would like that, we can argue with them on a different time. But that is even harder, because let's look at it this way. How do we deal with, well, how do we deal with the problem when we feel guilty for some reason? When we feel that we've done something that had an unintended consequence, and how do we get through that? How do we get over that? Well, the easiest way, the best way, as far as I'm concerned, is to apologize. And, of course, I'll get on my little former English teacher soapbox here and make a suggestion, which I still don't carry through completely to this day, but the suggestion would be to never use the phrase, I'm sorry, in any circumstance whatsoever. Because when you use I am, you can replace the am with an equal sign. I am sorry means I equal sorry. Now, well, that may be a little bit strange, a strange construction, but if I say, what a sorry little dog, what does sorry mean in that context? It means pathetic. And so every time we are saying, I'm sorry, even if we use the contraction so we don't actually say, I am sorry, still applies. We're saying, I'm pathetic. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. That's that shame energy. That's that energy of, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. And that to me is actually, on another tangent, that to me is actually why we use the phrase, I'm sorry, for instance, when we are talking to someone who is going through a trauma, whether it's a divorce, a death, an illness, whatever. We will go to them and say, I'm sorry. Why? For a long time, it made no sense to me why we would say that. I couldn't figure it out. And then what I realized is it's kind of like lifting them up or attempting to lift them up by saying the equivalent of, well, I know you're going through a hard time right now, but I really suck. You're better than I am. And so that should make you feel a little better because you're better than I am. And again, it's not necessarily logical. We wouldn't go to someone who is mourning the loss of their husband or wife and say, well, you shouldn't feel too bad because I'm much more pathetic than you are. I'm worse off than you are, etc. But if you look at how we experience energy in relationships and how we explore energy in relationships, and a really good description of this is in the book The Celestine Prophecy. It wasn't unique to me before then, but it was spelled out very well there. So I like to refer people to that if they want to read about this further. But essentially, because we don't know our divinity, because we don't know it experientially, we may have it mentally, but experientially is a different thing, what we are doing in our relationships is seeking to find our value. And as we do that, we're in a constant tug of war, seeking to receive more energy than we're putting out. If we can get others to give us more energy than we're giving to them, then we won the relationship, so to speak. And that literally even goes to the place where people talk about things like that. Who won the divorce, so to speak? If we can get the other person more pissed off at us and spending more energy and sending more energy at us or to us, then we've won. And so a lot of one-upmanship comes into play here. But I believe it's a similar thing. But it's kind of the opposite end of the spectrum. In many cases, for instance, people will make fun of other people. Why? On the surface, that doesn't necessarily make sense. If you look at it in terms of energy, it does, though. If we can, you and I together, can make a joke about someone else, putting them down, what are we doing? We're attempting to stand on their shoulders to feel better. Well, at least I'm not as bad off as that person is. At least my life doesn't suck that much. At least I'm not that stupid. I'm not that incompetent. I'm not that whatever. We make these comparisons to attempt to feel that value. That's a big piece of what humor is about. A lot of comedy is based on seeing someone else in pain. Think about it. I took a whole class in college on that for theater. It was quite interesting. But it's part of how we're wired, that as long as we are not in our power, as long as we are seeking to find our value and get approval through the eyes of others, through comparison with others, then those kinds of games are going to get played. And the only way to step out of it is to do what we're attempting to do here, which is to step into our mastery, where we are experiencing our divinity, our value from within, rather than in those comparative measurements with others. And in that way, we step out of the game. And so that's, for me, another big piece of why I even choose to offer this show and why I do the work that I do and offer it out into the world, is to get on the train away from comparison town, away from relativity. Well, I may have this wrong in my life, but at least I don't have that wrong in my life. That's not how I desire to live. Can't say I'm done with all those patterns, but the more we can see them, the more consciously we can choose to step out of them when they come up. But rewind back to the energy of disappointment and the relationship with shame and the question of how do we deal with guilt and how do we deal with shame from an empowered perspective to help us move forward most directly to where we would like to go. Now, take a breath, everyone. That's a big topic. And I certainly cannot begin to cover all of the possibilities here today, but I would like to touch in on a couple of things. The first one, and again, this is true of our relationship with ourselves. It's also true of our relationships with others. But when we are in that place of feeling guilty, one of the best things to do is, as I said already, is to apologize in some form. And that's how we got off on the tangent of I'm sorry. So now we're back. And I like to literally do it this way. I apologize for this. Rather than saying I'm sorry, say I apologize. That's what you're doing. You're intending to say, essentially, I didn't mean for that outcome. I didn't think that outcome was possible. I had no idea that you felt that way. I had no idea that that would trigger that in you, etc. These are all aspects of that energy. And I like to literally put them in there, verbally, directly. I apologize for saying that. I didn't realize that that would trigger you in that way, and I really did not intend that. Of course, it's important when we're apologizing that we actually are present, that we are breathing, that we are speaking, not, again, in the way that at least it was told to me and all the kids I knew, go say you're sorry. We didn't mean it. I didn't, most of the time. I didn't mean it then at all. I was saying it only because I was being forced to say it. And, of course, I didn't like saying it, and I didn't realize why, because I was saying, I'm pathetic. I'm really pathetic that I did that to you. Eh. That's not helpful. That's not helpful at all. It may, in some cases, make the other person feel better, because, again, it's doing that comparison for them. I know I kicked you, but, you know, the pain you're feeling is nothing compared to how much I hurt because I'm so pathetic. So, so making that apology to help clear the energy is a piece of it. And, you know, we can't really apologize to ourselves. Certainly we can get that awareness. Once we have the awareness that I really didn't intend that, it had unintended consequences, etc., it makes it easier to let go of it. But that doesn't actually do the letting go. So let's go to the next step. And this is what we're hoping for from the other person. If we go to apologize to them, we're hoping for forgiveness. But again, forgiveness is something that gets thrown around, I personally believe, without very much understanding of the energetics underneath it. And one of the energetic patterns that we all have in varying degrees, I believe, is that of trying to protect ourselves. In other words, we're in this energetic battle trying to get energy from each other, trying to get more energy than we're putting out, or at the very least have it be balanced so that we can feel some value in ourselves, feel hopefully good about ourselves eventually, etc. And part of that, I've seen it over and over again. Every person I've ever worked with where we've gotten into some issues, this was underneath them to some degree, is the energy of, now I'm going to use this phrase because it's a loaded phrase, and I like to use loaded phrases. It's the equivalent of the energy of nursing a grudge. We do that to protect ourselves. And the basic energetic equation underneath that is, and it's not necessarily mental. In fact, I don't believe it's mental in any of us. It comes from the initial programming that we came in with and that we learned before we were verbal, before we had words. So I don't believe this is mental for very many people. But the program essentially is we are trying to get other people to give us that feedback. How we try to do that is to meet their expectations. But unless we're in a very, very, very clear relationship where everything is expressed directly and asked for directly, would you please do this for me? Where we're asking for what I need and they're asking for what they need. Most of those expectations are unconscious and hidden. And they're landmines out there. And so what we try to do is keep a tally of where the landmines are so we don't step on the same landmine again. Ooh, I said that to this person and that really pissed them off and got me yelled at and it didn't feel good and blah, 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 blah. So we mark an X on that spot and try to not say that again. Now, of course, since we don't feel our value, we are going to say that again or something similar. We are going to manifest another relationship with someone else that has some similar landmines in it because that's not the way to get through to the other side. If the other side is to truly know our value, we're not going to get there by holding on to those experiences where it was extremely clearly pointed out to us that we suck. And yet, the energetic pattern is there from before we were verbal. Oh, I have to remember that. I'm never going to let anyone do that to me again. Well, that invariably means that we are. But that's that intention. And sometimes it does. It gets verbalized. It gets thought at that level. It gets felt very deeply because we are so wounded. We are not, I can't let that happen to me again. So what we do is we hold on to the pain of it, which, as we know, pulls the energy again, brings it to us again. Like attracts like. But that's that pattern sitting underneath there of holding on to what went wrong. And as anyone who has ever tried to do forgiveness work, well, anyone that I've ever met who's tried to do forgiveness work will attest to, it is always easier to forgive someone else than to forgive ourselves. Because when we are forgiving someone else, we are working with their energy of guilt. When we are trying to forgive ourselves, we are not just working with the energy of guilt, we are also working with the energy of shame. And it's the shame part of it that's harder to release. It's easier to forgive ourselves for a particular action. It is less easy to forgive ourselves for the underlying feeling of shame that comes up with it when we get caught, when we get accused, when we get blamed. And so that to me is an important piece of, well, it's an important reason for us to do forgiveness work. I was going to say whether we'd like it or not. Perhaps a better way to put that is on a regular, ongoing basis, whether we have something specific to forgive ourselves for or not. Because a lot of this, again, is about that underlying shame. It's about the sense of our unworthiness. It's not about any particular actions. And so, again, the best tool I have ever come across, and I honestly do not remember where it came from. I have connected with it in different places since it's been in my consciousness. But the best tool I know of, and it's been offered in multiple sessions when I've been channeling and when I've done other energy work, etc., is I am willing to forgive. And in this case, we're talking about I'm willing to forgive myself. And by all means, if you have a specific action, if there's a specific guilt that you're seeking to work with, then you can add that in. I'm willing to forgive myself for doing blank, for saying blank, etc. You can fill in that. But if we just work with I'm willing to forgive myself, or even adding the now to the end of it, I'm willing to forgive myself now. What we're working with is letting go of some of the shame. And that, to me, is one of the most important things that we can do on this path. Because, let's look at it this way. Because, well, we are that divinity. At the beginning, when we connect with our divinity, we're connecting with what's already there. We're opening to allow ourselves to experience it more. But it's already there. The sum total of this path, in one way of looking at it, is to let go of all of these beliefs based in past experiences or not, all of these programs that are preventing our divinity from our conscious experience, that are preventing us from feeling our divinity and choosing to share it. And so for me, that is an extreme piece of why disappointment is such a powerful trigger. But being such a powerful trigger, why it is such a powerful tool. Because if we're ever feeling that disappointment in ourselves, toward others, from others toward us, it's pointing to a doorway that says we are ready to clear another level of our experience, our sense, our definition of unworthiness within ourselves, and get to another place of power. Get to another level of experiencing that mastery, of exposing it. Well, and it's interesting because that that brings me back to the very title of the show, Exposing the Masters Within. It is all there is. All there is the process of seeking that exposure. And it's akin, it's comparable to the master sculptors who have this chunk of rock, marble, whatever they might be choosing to carve. And many of the masters have described it not as the process of creating something, but as the process of liberating the form that was within. Liberating it, letting it out. And just chipping away those pieces that are covering it up. So, I think that's a good place to shift gears here. And I think I'll actually do a commercial announcement today. Don't do these very often, but actually I'll do a double commercial announcement. The first one is for tomorrow night's Gateway activation. And it is going to be at 7:30 Eastern time. As always, it will be available live in person. It will be available live through teleconference, and it will be available through the recording after the fact. Currently on my website, there is a list, and I'd have to pull up the website, and that would cause me to have to think about the computer for a minute, so I'm not going to do it. There is a list on the website now of the dates of every single Gateway activation through to the end of the year. And so please take a look at that. Mark your calendars. I believe if you go on the website and look under the Gateway, there is a subheading that is upcoming. I believe that's what it says. But it makes logical sense if you look at it. You'll be able to find it. of course, since I have not managed to get an email out announcing this Gateway activation, those who sign up for it even up to the end of the week, even up till Friday, will be able to pay just the $22 early registration fee. After that, it will go back up to full price, which is $55. But that's the first of the commercials. It is the Gateway of Acceptance, which, as is typical in these Gateway activations, they're going to turn that on its head. Everyone they've done so far, they really do redefine what the energies are of the particular word. And in doing so, help to break through some paradigms and shift experiences. Along with all the activation that's going on, the mental piece really does get fed in a very nice way. The second commercial announcement that I'm going to put forth here is, well, it's not just a commercial announcement. The first thing is that the Ankhs will go in the mail this week by Wednesday, I believe, for those who purchased Ankhs from me, copper crystal Ankhs. But the commercial announcement is that later this month, I will start making, I think lemon scotte is the official term. There are other terms for it, but the shape you would most fully know as the infinity. And I'll be making these out of copper pipe, and they will have crystals inside of them, and they are very, very powerful tools. So if any of you are interested in that, I will be putting an email out soon, but I just wanted to put that out there in the world to get it into your head that it's going to exist soon, because as with the Ankhs, I will be taking a limited number of orders and only making as many as I get orders for. So, and the price is not yet determined. It may well be the same as with the Ankhs, but I will put that out when I put out the email announcement. So let's go do some channeling, shall we? So allow your breathing to deepen while I do the toning to bring in whoever is going to be speaking with us today. Hello, dear brethren. This is one who some of you would know by name, the name of one of the lives that I have walked in body in, and that name is as Hildegard von Bingen. And I am here now to activate in you, we'll call it a doorway, and it is a doorway of creative expression. It is one of the things that I am still remembered for, was the inspiration in many ways that I was able to receive in that lifetime, that I was able to connect with, that I was able to express. And so I'm here to offer you a piece that was given to me, that was part of the process of my own awakening, my own activating, my own creative expansion. And in this, it is not just creative in the terms of manifesting things, but it is what you term creativity, that which is artistic, that which is bringing the new into the world. Not just the new in your life, but the new to the world at all. And so for this, allow yourself to put your feet, if you are able, flat upon the floor, or the earth, or some surface beneath your feet. And take your mind's eye, and if you are not visual, that is okay. Focus in the third eye spot. But imagine and intend that you rotate that down so that you are looking straight down your spinal column, straight down your central channel. And as you look down, follow it down. And go out through the bottom of the central channel and out through the root chakra and into the earth. And as you go down, we are going to do activating along the way, but I'm also going to coach you a little bit, to teach you a little bit. As you are going down through the earth, level by level, layer by layer, for those of you who are visual, you will see this. For those of you who are not, you can feel this. You will come across what you might perceive to be lights of different intensity. And if as many, and this is what my experience was in doing this process, in going down into the earth and taking my eye down in that way, it was going through darkness. And yet it was like going into the night sky where the stars were and the planets, except these lights that are more brilliant, that are more intense, they are things for you to go explore. Potentially, your choice, of course, but they are there for you to go into, to see, and then to bring back. But right now we are not doing that. We are doing the activation of this for you. And so just notice these intensities of energy and light, but continue straight down. And at some point there will be a bright light that opens up ahead of you. And it is straight ahead of you. It is not off to the side like these other ones that are packets of inspiration, if you will. But go straight down to that light and fall into it. And as you fall into it, feel the warmth of it. You are on the outer reaches of the heart of the Mother Earth. And that is why it is so warm and soothing. Not hot, warm, comfortable. It would be what you would define as the perfect temperature upon your skin. And you continue moving downward. And there is yet another brilliant light that is straight ahead of you, within the one you are already in. And you go through the outer membrane of that, and you almost hear a little pop. It's not that you have broken it open and it is now leaking out, but you, in going through it, have reached a different level. And now you are in the heart of the Mother Earth. And so, at this point then, we would open you in four ways. We are literally going to remove the root and the crown chakras. We are going to remove the chakra, the front and the back of the heart, so that this energy that is the heart of the Mother Earth can pour into you, unfettered by any filters whatsoever. Can fill your heart and spread from there throughout all the rest of you. And let yourself breathe. And drink up. And now we would say to you, and if you notice this and feel it, that is fine. If you can see it, that is fine. If you cannot, just allow yourself to be open to it. But within the heart itself, the physical heart, and what we might call the roots of the front and the back of the chakra, we did not pull those out, but throughout the physical heart and in these roots, there is a change taking place in the very structure of the physical cells and in the structure of the energetic roots. And it is a merging of your cells and that energetic structure with the energy of the heart, of the heart of the Mother. And just let yourself breathe into that as fully as you are able at this moment. Good. And know that we are going to stretch time here in an interesting way, because in the physical world, we need to go back. In the energetic world, you can stay there as long as you like, but we will walk you through this process anyway, so that when it is time that you are ready to come back, you can have stayed there for an infinity of time. And yet, on the clock, it will look the same as it does for everyone else who goes back as we say these words. But once more, we are reinstalling, reconnecting the front and the back of the heart chakras, reinstalling, reconnecting the root and the crown chakras. Of course, they've been floating in the heart of the Mother Earth at this time, and that has created a marvelous cleansing effect in them, so that they are much more open now. Still safe for you, but much more open. And so now, allow that inner eye to stop looking at your heart and to come back up, to turn back up to front, to looking out the front. And at this time then, turn it up so it is looking out through the crown of the head. And as it does so, you are launched upward, back along the path that you followed to come down, moving much more quickly now, for it is not a new path anymore. You have already trod upon it. And yet it is a very comfortable speed as you move through that darkness of potential that is the Mother Earth, as you move past all of these packets of light and inspiration, individual infinity that is available for you when you are ready for it. But again, it's not the time to go into it now. Allow yourself to come back into your body. And as you come into your body, once more allow the third eye to point to the front. The direction that it needs to be, the inner eye, the mind's eye as well. And just allow yourself to breathe. And know this, dear ones. And we do not say this lightly. What we have just done is going to take you 3 weeks to integrate. So while we do encourage you to go follow that path down to those packets of energy, we would strongly suggest that you not do that for at least 3 weeks from this moment. It is not that if you do, you'll go down there and explode, but what you will do is go down unprepared, unready to receive it to the fullness, and what you will create is a pattern of disappointment within yourself, because you will go down trying to connect with it, and you will not be able to connect with it to the degree you would desire to. And you will not be able to bring it back and express it to the degree you would desire to. And so in that choice to go down early before the integration has taken place, you will actually put yourself further behind than you are now in terms of how you perceive yourself in terms of creativity and creative expression. Because you will go down and it will not be what you desire it to be. Now, we also do not promise that it will be fireworks and suddenly all of you will be turning out the most brilliant paintings on the planet and selling them for millions of dollars and recordings that are worth, that everyone must have, going platinum in a week or a day. It is not that you are going to turn out the great American novel next week, the week after you go down in, or even waiting a month. Turn it out 4 weeks from now after you go down and in the first time. But what we will say is that if you do choose to play with this pathway, if you do choose to go down into it and connect with these packets, what you will do is you will open into your creativity. It may be gradual for some of you. It may be rocket speed for others. Do not judge in comparison to others. Know that it is the perfect speed for you. But know that it is more available now. And it will be more available in 3 weeks than it has ever been before in your life. So you might wish to mark your calendars. And if some of you are on top of your game, you might send an email to the one we are speaking through so that he marks his calendar so that 3 weeks from now he can remind you that it's been 3 weeks. But that is not necessary. We would be grateful. He would be grateful if you would. But it is not homework, dear ones. Well, with that, we take our leave. We wish you, each and every beautiful, brilliant one of you, wonder, magnificence and love and funny, all of those are already within you. Namaste, dear ones. Okay. Wow. Thank you, Hildegard. For those of you who do not know who Hildegard von Bingen is, I do not remember the century. I want to say the 1300s, but I am not certain of that. It may have been later. It may have been earlier. But definitely not recent. She was a visionary. She eventually became the, I guess the term is, head abbess of a nunnery somewhere in Europe. She has created all kinds. She created in that lifetime paintings, poetry, music, songs that still have tremendous power. So I certainly do not know an extreme amount about her. I would share one other story. This is only the second time I've ever channeled her out of all the thousands of sessions that I've done. And I share this just because it was so powerful for me the first time that I channeled her. I actually channeled her for someone, and when she came in, the message that she gave to this person was about them sharing that time together. In the lifetime when she was Hildegard von Bingen, this other person was with her in that community as another of the nuns. And it is the one and only time I've ever had this happen. The energy was so strong, the connection between them was so strong, that literally the hair on my arms was standing up for the entire hour. It made that much of an impression on me. Now, I can't say the hair on my arms was standing up the whole time she was doing that, but I could certainly feel the power of it. So that would definitely be something that I would be very interested to hear your feedback on, not only of what you might have experienced today, but if you go out and use it as a tool starting in 3 weeks from now. So anyway, I am going to close things out now. So Doug, go ahead and start those chimes whenever you're ready. And I want to thank each and every one of you for being here today to help co-create this show. Hopefully it did not disappoint. I would love to hear from you. Let me have your feedback, good, bad, indifferent. Let me know what you'd like to hear more of, what you'd like to hear less of. Questions, comments, guests, any and all of that would be great for me to receive from you. Well, I will be back same time, same place next week. I hope to have you join me again then. I hope to see you out there in the energy within. Much love to each and every one of you, my friends, and namaste.